We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pause now for personal reflection on our own lives. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sin. And I do so under the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join as we sing our hymn, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. Christ eleison, Christ have mercy. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O God, by the humiliation of your Son, you raised up this fallen world. Teach us whom you have rescued from endless death to have fullness of eternal joy. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of Scripture.
The reading is from Acts 2:14, 36 through 41. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, and saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The word of our Lord. The psalm is 116, 1 through 14. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The cords of death entangled me, the grip of the grave took hold of me. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent.
I was brought here low and
in no way. Turn again to your rest, O my soul. For you have rescued my life from death.
My eyes from tears, my feet from sorrow.
I walk in the presence of the Lord.
In the land of the living.
I believed even when I said, I have brought very low.
In my distress I said, no one can be trusted.
How shall I repay the Lord? I will lift up the cup of salvation.
And call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord.
In the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord.
In the death of his
servants. O Lord, I am your servant. The second reading is 1 Peter 1:17 through 25. If you call on him as a father who judges partially according to each one's deeds. Conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from the forefathers, not the perishable things such as silver or gold, but the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are God. Having purified your souls by our obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you, the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That very day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. That's okay. Lights out. I never knew that the end was going to happen at church, right? And now are we in heaven? Well, grace and peace be with each of you from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The title of my sermon, if it was up on a board, would be Gaining Recognition. Gaining Recognition. Now, how many of us like to gain recognition for something maybe we've done? You know, like, "Hey, thank you. Good job. No one could do it any better than you. That was fantastic. Awesome. Way to go." Right? We all like that pat on the back, don't we? I know I do. Right? Good job. I used to see this quite a bit when I was in the chaplain in the military. We'd get these soldiers that would come back from a year-long deployment, and they would be thousands of people to gather them back, and people were holding signs like, "Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. You know, God bless the USA," all kinds of stuff, right? And I can tell you, as a soldier coming back myself, it was awesome. You'd have all these complete strangers that you never knew, and they were giving you congratulations, recognition for a job well done. I can remember one particular soldier, just before he left, they had a baby. And he was just heartbroken all the way through deployment. And when he got back, he went up to his wife and saw the little baby, and he said to the baby the baby's name, and the baby looked at him and reached up his hand and hugged him. Oh, what recognition, right? Oh. In our gospel text tonight, it's really a lack of recognition. A lack of recognition. You know, the risen Lord comes and starts walking next to Cleopas and a friend on the road to Emmaus. And for whatever reason, their eyes could not tell that it was Jesus. And I'm just thinking, they're walking along, they're stopping, they're standing, they're looking sad. And Cleopas says to Jesus, didn't know it was Jesus at the time, he said, "Hey, are you the only one that doesn't know the things that happened in Jerusalem?" And Jesus says to them, or asks them, "What things?" And they replied, "What do you mean? The things about Jesus of Nazareth, etc., etc." Now, at this point, I just want to scream. I want to say, "Hey, dudes, don't you know who's standing right in front of you? It is the Lord and Savior Jesus." Huh. But the Bible tells us that their eyes were kept from recognizing them at first. And I was wondering, well, maybe Jesus is playing some tricks on them. And then I thought, well, maybe they were in a different context. A different context. Now, a number of years ago, I went to a Brewers game because I lived over in Wisconsin. And it was absolutely packed. And I was wearing, you know, my hat and my jersey. And I'm walking in, and this guy goes, "Hey, Pastor Doug!" And I look over, and I go, like, who in the world is that? But I'm going, like, that guy knows my name, but who is he? And it just bothered me through the whole game. I'm going, like, some guy knows me. And I kind of looked, and I go, I think I know him. And then I worked up the courage, and I went to him, and I said, you know, I apologize. I know you. I really do know you, but I really don't know you. Who are you? And he says, oh, Pastor Doug, I'm your dentist, Dr. Flores. You know, and I thought, you know, if he was wearing his scrubs in a blue uniform, I would have probably recognized him like that, right? You see, I think the trouble with Cleopas and the friend as they were on the road to Emmaus was they had remembered the crucified Jesus. They had remembered that Jesus was dead, and that was it. That was the end. That was period. They did not recognize in this new context that Jesus was alive. And all. I just want Jesus just to reveal himself right away, going like, yep, you're right, it's me. But the Gospel of Luke, he just drags it out, allowing Cleopas and his friend to really tell everything that they know, everything that's in their heart. And they, so they say, you know, well, he was a mighty prophet in deed and word, condemned to death, crucified. And we had hoped that he was the one dream for Israel. And then they said, well, you know, something amazing happened. Some of our women went to the tomb and they didn't see that he was there. But there were some angels that said he was alive. And then they tell Jesus again, they didn't know it was Jesus, the one they cannot see, that some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just as the woman had said, but they didn't see him. And I'm thinking, no recognition. This is absolutely frustrating. Just imagine having all the evidence of the risen Lord. You can remember of the words that he spoke, telling you again and again, you know, the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day rise again. Remember he told them that? And then you have the evidence of the rolled away stone, the empty tomb, the angel in dazzling clothes. Remember, remember what Jesus told you? That the Son of Man must be handed over to the sinners and be crucified, and again on the third day rise again. I'm thinking he's trying to tell them that. Let's see. Day one, day two, day. This is day three, dudes. Huh? Imagine having all of that. The words, the angels, and now you have the risen Lord standing in front of you, walking with you. And they looked at him as a stranger. You know, it's not necessarily hard for us to imagine this. There are many of us who know what it's like on Easter, right? Easter morning, we have all the celebration, and we kind of walk away a little bit sad. You know, we hear the message about Jesus and God's love and grace and forgiveness and new life, and we hear the words of the angels. And in some churches, right, we have all those Easter colors, right? Easter lilies. In some churches, I don't know, did you guys have horns? Some congregations I've been at, they play horns, right? Kind of wake you up. Well, you know, when we leave Easter and we go to our parking lot, we get in our car, chances are the next horn we're going to hear is when we pull out of the parking lot and someone's going to cut us off and they lay on their horn. Right? You see, we don't have to travel so far down the Easter road before we're caught in the traffic of the world. The hard realities of what we see and what we know. We all have friends who suffer and friends who die. And we are taken over by the worries and frustrations of this world. We get easily angered over things over time that are lost, such as maybe a dream didn't come true that you were hoping for, that we just can't seem to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And we can be like these two on the road that, you know, hey, we had hoped that this Jesus was the one hope to redeem Israel, to redeem us. You know, we had such high hopes. How far do we get from Easter before we stop on the road and stare at one another and kind of look sad? You know, strangers in our world, they kind of look at us Christians. And they kind of look at us as hypocrites. And the reason they look at us as hypocrites is they go, well, do you really believe this? And then do you really act out your belief? And they look at us and kind of say, hey, oh, how foolish you are, you Christians. And how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. I can remember a number of years ago, as pastors know and as congregations know, when you start getting into the church stuff, when you go through Lent, and you go through Holy Week, and then you have all those Easter services, right? I mean, quite honestly, pastors, at the end of the day, we are tired, right? And when I was in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, I had a large church. I think we had four services of Easter services. So, I mean, I was really spent. And I can remember coming home just like dragging and going like, oh, I can hardly wait to hit the bed, right? And then all of a sudden I get this phone call. Hey, Pastor Hadman, don't forget, we got that trip tomorrow. We're going to a shelter. I'm thinking, come on, I'm a pastor. I've been to shelters before. Do I really need to go? I mean, honestly, I was really feeling kind of, come on, pastor. We signed up long time ago for this tour. We're going to go and visit homeless men and women, and we leave tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I woke up, got in my car. I have to be honest, I got there a little bit late, and there was the bus, and when I walked on the bus, there was this humongous guy. He was so tall that he had to kind of bend over, and he gave me a big smile, and he had a gold tooth. I'm glad you're here, Pastor. And as we started, he started telling me his life story. He said, you know, I was addicted to alcohol and cocaine. And I finally got kicked out of my house. And so I moved in with my brother. And he kicked me out. I moved in with my sister. She kicked me out. I went to my aunt's. She kicked me out. And soon there wasn't any more houses to kick me out of. And then he said, but a stranger rescued me and got me into this Phoenix House, this program. And God is good. Oh, God is so good. I'm thankful that God never gave up on me. I got a job, and the job gave me a house. My home gave me a family. Oh, God is so good. You know, I thought I was there to visit a facility, but I was really there to listen to testimonies. A lady came up and she said, "Hey, I thank God that I have a roof over my head, and I thank God that I have food on my table. I'm learning how to keyboard now so I can get a decent job. I thank God. I just thank God." And then she looked at one of our parishioners who were on the bus. "It's because of people like you. People like you who helped make this place possible. I don't even know if I'd be alive if it wasn't for people like you. I just thank everyone I see, because you never know when you might be entertaining angels unaware." One of the women that worked at the group home, she said, "You know, we're not always successful. You know, we have people that come, and sometimes there's failures. Sometimes we don't hear back from our graduates. But most of the time, people that leave the program, if they end up in jail, we're there." We're there to welcome them back and say, "You always have a house. You're never going to be forgotten. We're always with you." You see, there was one resurrection story after another. This woman, when I went into their little kitchenette, they had this little bowl, and in that bowl they had those animal crackers, you know, with the animals. And I picked one up and went, "Ah, I got a lion. I kind of like lions." And she reached in and grabbed it, and she goes, "Hey, I got a lion too." And then the woman looked at me and she said, "Hey, God bless you." She asked me, "What's your name?" I said, "Well, Pastor Doug." And I asked her, "Well, what's your name?" Didn't answer. You know, as I left that group home that day, got into the bus, I was kind of thinking, you know, God never gives up on anybody. God just does not give up on anybody. I thought, we cannot give up on anybody either. About the strangers who came out of nowhere to help these people, to give them new hope. I was thinking about that lady. She didn't give me her name. I'm wondering if she was one of those angels unaware to me. You see, that past pain was now filled with new hope. About the start of my miserable day, wow, is it a great day. About the animal crackers and the Gatorade that I shared with that lady, this is going to kind of sound a little silly, but animal crackers, Gatorade, kind of reminded me of communion. Jesus sat down with those disciples, and when he was at the table with them, he broke bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. You know, I'm just thinking, as we walk the Easter road, we can either stand looking sad, or we can stop feeling sorry for ourselves and just listen to the words, "Believe and do. Put faith in action. Visit the strangers. Feed the hungry. Lift up the poor. Taste and see what the Lord is doing and how good God is." And when we do that, we will gain a little recognition. Congratulations, good job. And when you do, you know that God is good. Because you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for God. People empowered by the by the resurrection. Yes, he is risen, and he's risen indeed. Amen. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks for being with us on the roads that we travel. Forgive us when we see all the things of this world that can drive us to despair and don't see that you are the one who is with us, providing us with all grace and hope. We ask that in our most trying times that you grant us some recognition of your presence. And may our hearts burn within us. May we also see the hope that you are risen, risen indeed. Amen. I invite you to please stand if you are able, and let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy Father, you have invited us to the banquet of your Son. We thank you for the gift of grace and for your promise and forgiveness. Lead us to your table with humble and repentant hearts so that we may hear you, your word for us. Make us mindful of your presence with us as we share in communion with you and one another. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, all creation groans with labor and pains, awaiting your promised redemption. In this season of transitioning weather, we pray for communities everywhere impacted by the vagaries of violent weather, tornadoes, spring flooding, high winds, and lightning. Grant them safety. Be with relief workers and all who assist in recovery efforts. Lord, in your mercy. God of righteousness, grant wisdom to world leaders, turning them away from fear and distrust. Open their eyes to the ways of freedom and justice that reflect your reign. We pray particularly for people in those places where violence and oppression are a daily reality. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, be present with those who are homeless, lost, bereaved, orphaned, those who are unemployed or underemployed, those who grieve, those who are ill or despairing. We pray especially for those we name aloud and silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy.
Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Father, especially through this Easter season where Christ is risen and is alive. And so we join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Amen. We join as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and the ushers will direct you forward.